You're listening to TheBody.com's podcast coverage of AIDS 2008, the 17th International AIDS Conference. The conference took place in Mexico City from August 3rd through August 8th, 2008.
My name is Caitlin Kennedy. I'm a PhD candidate at Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health.
And can you tell us a little bit about your research?
Sure. Well, my poster is about the YRG Care Matrimonial Service. YRG Care is an HIV treatment and support organization located in Chennai, India. And in 2001, one of the clients at YRG approached the director because he had a problem. His parents were putting pressure on him to marry, but they didn't know that he was HIV infected, and he didn't want to pass on his infection to someone who was uninfected. So he asked the director of YRG if she knew of any eligible single HIV-positive women. And she put out some feelers, she talked to some people, and she found a young woman who was also interested in being arranged in a marriage. And so they made a match, and that's how they started the matrimonial service. So matrimonial service is actually quite common throughout India. It's part of the arranged marriage tradition there, where people are matched, and they have taken on some characteristics of dating services online. They have online profiles, etc. And the YRG Care Matrimonial Service is unique in that it's for people living with HIV. And this was a fairly new idea. I mean, now that people living with HIV have access to testing and treatment and know their status and are living longer lives thanks to the availability of treatment, including in places like India, I think these issues are coming to the forefront more and more. We interviewed people who were affiliated with the matrimonial service, including both matrimonial service clients, staff members, family members, because family are so involved in dating and, well, in marriage in India. People in South India don't really date that much. They mostly get married. And we also interviewed people living with HIV who were not affiliated with the matrimonial service to get the perspective of people who might not want to, a service like this. And we found that most people said marriage is really a part of normal life in Indian society, that most Indians are expected to get married at a certain age, and it's part of fulfilling your social role in society. And the people with HIV who joined the service, even though they were initially devastated by their diagnosis, over time and with the availability of treatment, they found themselves, you know, feeling healthy, looking towards the future, and they wanted to live a normal life in the context of Indian society, which included being married. But again, they didn't want to pass their infection on to someone who was uninfected, and for many of them, this matrimonial service sort of filled that niche. They talked about the benefits to marriage. Men especially reported taking better care of their health after marriage. They said they had someone to, you know, answer to, in a sense, and someone to live for. Both men and women said that there was a lot of social support from marriage, and many said that the spouses who also had HIV could understand the unique challenges that they faced as people living with HIV. Given the HIV, the epidemiology of HIV in India, there aren't that many never married women who are HIV infected, because most women marry at a very young age, and then many actually acquire HIV infection in their marriage. And so the matrimonial service actually has 5 times as many men as women who put their profiles in, partly because there are many never married men who are HIV infected in South India. And most of the women who put their profiles in are widows. And in traditional Indian society, widows are not supposed to remarry. But we've seen some changes in the matrimonial service that men are actually willing to marry a widow because it's more important to them that they have a spouse who's HIV infected. Similarly, we've found that issues of caste and subcaste that are traditionally important in arranged marriages have become somewhat less important in this service, because people are, you know, saying it's more important to me that I have someone who is healthy and who's taking care of themselves and who's disclosed to their family, as opposed to someone who fits my exact characteristics that I might otherwise normally be looking for in the society. So I think in this very local context, there's some very interesting issues that are being brought up. And sort of as Indian society is changing, this is sort of one reflection of it. And in conclusion, matrimonial services or dating services for people living with HIV may be a creative and culturally appropriate way to achieve HIV prevention goals, and as well as improve quality of life for people living with HIV. There may be some risks to people with HIV partnering together, such as, I mean, there's the possibility of passing on superinfection, drug-resistant virus, if one partner has drug-resistant virus and the other doesn't. And there's also, we had some concerns that maybe this would stigmatize people further, that people would feel that they are being segregated into, you know, that's, and we were saying that only people with HIV should only partner with other people with HIV, but actually we didn't find that at all in our interviews. All the people who'd used the service, and even the people who hadn't used the service, said that this was actually a really good thing in the Indian context, because it showed other people in India that HIV positive people could get married and they could live a normal life.
How many people have actually used this service and are now married?
There has been about 20 marriages that have come out through the service, and there's about 200 profiles of people who've submitted their information to the service.
So tell me about these marriages. I mean, like, where do they happen? Does the agency help find the place that they get married? I mean, what happens next?
Well, Indian marriages are unique and quite interesting. The family is usually quite involved. So in the cases where the people living with HIV have disclosed to their family members, the family members usually get involved and sometimes come to the matrimonial service also to meet the potential partner. And then usually once that happens, the families take it from there. So the matrimonial service doesn't actually arrange the marriages. The families then will go and, you know, follow the traditional Indian arranged marriage pattern where the families get to know each other. They, you know, they go and they visit each other's households. They see what types of situation they're signing their child up for, essentially. And they go from there. They get married, usually within a short period of time. Once people agree to get married in India, they usually have a relatively short engagement, typically a few months.
What is the average age of the 20 couples that got married?
That's a good question, but I can tell you for sure it's older than the typical age of marriage in India. I think the average age of first marriage in India is like around 18 for women and 21 for men, something like that. I'm not sure of the exact statistics, but these marriages tend to be older. There are very few teenagers, for example. In fact, I don't think there are any, if I remember correctly. It's almost exclusively people in their late 20s and 30s, and even some people in their like 40s. I don't know if there's anyone older than that, but who put their profiles in, especially people who were married previously. Again, widows or people who are divorced or separated from their first spouse.
Do you know if any of the couples decided to create a second family? Did they decide to have children?
Yes, several of the couples have had children. YRG Care provides a full range of services for people through pregnancy to prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV, and they're very open about giving people with HIV all of their options for pregnancies, so several of the couples have decided to have children.
Do you know what the status of the children were?
The two families that I interviewed as part of this project both had HIV negative children. And I don't know of any, I don't know of any cases of HIV positive children, but that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Right. So do you have any plans to follow up, to do a longitudinal study to see what happened, like after they've been together for 5 years, 10 years, etc.?
We would love to do that, yes. I'm a PhD student right now, so I would like to stay in academia and continue to help do research and actually evaluate services like this to see what the impact is, to see what's happening with people who've used this service. So I certainly hope that's the next step.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebody.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thanks for listening to thebody.com's podcast coverage of AIDS 2008. For much more coverage of this conference, including news, research, video, our photo journal, and, of course, more podcasts, visit us online at thebody.com/AIDS2008.